Facets of the Diamond. Foundations of the Third Verse Trilogy. You are about to hear an appendix that you may refer to at the end of the 12th Age, Volume 3 of the Third Verse Trilogy. The appendix is a collection of excerpts from a variety of spiritual teachers and sources, guidances about our deepest psychology and awareness, the realization of mind's nature. In our personal experience, hearing these excerpts rendered in the spoken word raises them from the printed page and reaches into our essential inner luminous being. And now, Appendix B, Quotations and Teachings. The following excerpts are offered to enlarge upon a few elements of the Third Verse Trilogy. References offer expanded perspectives on higher wisdom. A thought is simply the extroverted expression of knowing, of awareness, in the moment of recognizing the nature of what thinks. There's no way for this expression, the thought, to remain. Your naked essence is then an actuality. In this experience, there is no way for a thought to remain, just as a drop of water cannot remain in mid-air. Once you are familiar with this way of dealing with the thought, you do not need to suppress thinking. You do not need to correct it. You do not need any hope of gaining or fear of losing the awakened state. That is why it is said that the confidence of the view is free of hope and fear. You do not have to hope for freedom or fear having thoughts. Because in the moment of seeing the essence, the thought has dissolved. Don't ever expect that anything spectacular will be experienced. Honestly, there is nothing more amazing than this recognition of Rigpa in which no thought can remain. The five poisons and habitual tendencies lose their power to Rigpa. Rigpa, the true nature of mind. If we do not know this, we become caught up in thought. Most sentient beings do not know how to recognize. They are carried away by thoughts. In the moment you remind yourself to recognize mind nature, you have already seen the essence. Seeing no thing is the sublime sight. This is so close that it is hard to believe. It is not an act of imagining. It's because it's so easy that it is hard to trust in. There is not even as much as a hair tip to cultivate by meditating, but we need to grow used to it. We need to grow used to recognizing this nature of empty cognizance. As it is, Tulku Urgyen Rinpoche, Rangjung Yeshe, 2000, Volume 2, pages 149-150. In Huineng's time, some teachers advocated the cessation of all thoughts as the ultimate goal. But Huineng considered these views heretical, saying, "There is also a class of foolish people who sit quietly and try to keep their mind blank. They refrain from thinking of anything and call themselves great. On account of their heretical view, one can hardly talk to them." An enlightened mind, if it truly deserves to be called that, is clearly different from a blank, dysfunctional mind, resulting from great efforts to quench all thoughts. Wunyan, the state wherein the mind is not carried away by objects and images of the past or future, is to be free of discursive thoughts of defilement. It is not the termination of the brain's thinking function. Huineng elaborated further on the nature of enlightenment when he said, "Thoughtlessness is to see and to know all dharmas with a mind free from attachment. When in use, it pervades everywhere, and yet it sticks nowhere. What we have to do is purify our mind so that the six vijñanas, aspects of consciousness, in passing through the six gates, will neither be defiled by nor attached to the six sense objects." Wing Xing Chan. Does no thought mean no thought? Buddha Dharma, The Practitioner's Quarterly, Summer 2004, pages 51 and 52. Wei Ning, 638 to 713. Sixth Patriarch of Chan Buddhism. Reprinted with permission from Buddha Dharma. Nevertheless, despite its empty nature, the mind does not stop producing thoughts. These thoughts must be recognized as being the mind's natural activity, its creativity, like the light constantly given out by the flame of a lamp. The reason we fall into delusion is because we fail to recognize that all these thoughts are, in fact, nothing other than the display of the absolute nature. So you must not think that true meditation is an absence of thoughts, a calm state of extinction in which nothing arises at all. If your idea is to prevent thoughts arising, you will simply not realize the absolute nature. Zhurchungpa's Testament, Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche's Commentary, page 193, published by Snow Lion Publications, Ithaca, New York, 2006. Reprinted with permission from Snow Lion Publications. The following quotation is part of an excerpt from Thubten Chodron's book, Cultivating a Compassionate Heart, The Yoga Method of Chenrezig. When you dissolve into emptiness and re-emerge with the deity's body, then you get an idea of really the kind of transformation that Tantra is looking at, and some of what you may be able to do in the future when you can manifest many bodies and go throughout the universe to benefit others. So it gives us a healthier way to relate to our own body, pulls us out of too tight an identification with this physical body, and gives us an image of another kind of body that can really be used throughout all time and space for the benefit of all sentient beings. Snow Lion, Winter 2006 Newsletter, page 21. Reprinted with permission from Snow Lion Publications. The sorrows created by the mind can be untangled. We can release our sorrows and open to that great song which is beyond all stories, to the Dharma that is timeless. We can move through life fulfilling our part, yet somehow free in the midst of it all, when the stories of our life no longer bind us, we discover within them something greater. We discover that within the very limitations of form, of our maleness and femaleness, of our parenthood and our childhood, of gravity on the earth and the changing of the seasons is the freedom and harmony we have sought for so long. Our individual life is an expression of the whole mystery, and in it we can rest in the center of the movement, the center of all worlds. A Path with Heart, Jack Kornfield, Bantam Books, 1993, page 330. Granted permission under fair use by Random House, Inc. It is conceivable that the various traditions connected with initiation have resulted from contact with minds on other planets. It may be that for an awakened man, time and space present no barriers, and that communication is possible with intelligences on other inhabited worlds. The Morning of the Magicians, Lewis Powells and Jacques Bergier, page 359, first published in France under the title Le Matin des Magiciens, 1960 by Editions Gallimard. Reprinted with permission from Destiny Books, Rochester, Vermont, 05767, Fall 2008, Inner Traditions Bear and Company, Inc., www.innertraditions.com. The life is a revealed scripture, a terma. The nature of termas and the profound doctrine underlying the tradition of revealed texts is discussed in the commentary under the head, The Nyingma Lineages. Here suffice it to say that legend records that Guru Pema and Sogyal hid many treasures of different kinds in innumerable caches throughout Tibet, treasures that were to be revealed by Tertons, treasure finders, when the moment was ripe. Further, some treasures were hidden internally, in inner space. This category of terma is called mind treasure and may be considered as direct revelation of Guru and Dakini. Sky Dancer, The Secret Life and Songs of the Lady Yeshish Sogyal, Keith Delman, Rutledge and Kegan Paul, 1984. Introductory, page 16, reprinted with permission from Snow Lion Publications. To reflect deeply on impermanence is to be led to understand in the core of your heart the truth that is expressed so strongly in this verse of a poem by a contemporary master, Nyosho Kenpo. The nature of everything is illusory and ephemeral. Those with dualistic perception regard suffering as happiness. Like they who lick the honey from a razor's edge. How pitiful they who cling strongly to concrete reality. Turn your attention within, my heart friends. Yet how hard it can be to turn our attention within. How easily we allow our old habits and set patterns to dominate us, even though, as Nyosho Kenpo's poem tells us, they bring suffering. We accept them with almost fatalistic resignation, for we are so used to giving in to them. We may idealize freedom, but when it comes to our habits, we are completely enslaved. The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, Shogyal Rinpoche, Harper, San Francisco, 1994, page 31. reprinted with permission from HarperCollins Publishers, New York. Always recognize the dreamlike qualities of life and reduce attachment and aversion. Practice good-heartedness toward all beings. Be loving and compassionate, no matter what others do to you. What they will do will not matter so much when you see it as a dream. The trick is to have positive intention during the dream. This is the essential point. This is true spirituality. Life in relation to death. Chokdu Tulku Rinpoche, Padma Publishing, Junction City, California, 1987, page 28. Reprinted with permission from Padma Publishing. Thine own consciousness, shining, void, and inseparable from the great body of radiance, hath